It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Today we visit with West Virginia's poet laureate, Mark Harshman.
I like discovery. I want a poem to be something that makes someone go, oh, that's curious, that's interesting. And that can be to the dark side of things or to the light side of things, or in this case, maybe even a little of both.
That and more coming up in just a moment. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Senator Joe Manchin will become the Democrats' top member on the Senate Energy Committee. As Brittany Patterson reports, the new position gives the lawmaker a prominent platform to shape policy.
As ranking member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, Manchin will help set priorities and hearings for the legislative body. The committee covers a wide range of issues, including public lands, the electricity grid, energy technology, and policies that affect nuclear, coal, natural gas, and renewable energies. In a statement, Manchin said he was excited by the opportunity and committed to carrying on the committee's bipartisan history. He also noted West Virginia's role as an energy producer and said he would work toward developing energy policy that includes all options, including fossil fuels and renewable energy. The appointment has drawn criticism from some environmental groups and some fellow Democrats who worry Manchin may not be progressive enough on things like climate change. Manchin has served as a member of the committee since 2010. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Brittany Patterson.
West Virginia Governor Jim Justice on Wednesday appointed a Raleigh County judge to serve a temporary term on the state Supreme Court. Molly Bourne has more.
John A. Hutchinson of Beckley will serve on the state's highest court. The court had a vacancy after the resignation of Justice Alan Laufrey. Hutchinson will serve until a 2020 special election, with the winner serving the remainder of Laufrey's term through 2024. In a news release, Justice called Hutchinson, quote, one of the most conservative, respected jurists in the state. Hutchinson has served as a circuit judge in Raleigh County for more than two decades and is a member of the state Supreme Court's mass litigation panel. He has been appointed several times to sit on the high court when a justice has been recused, according to the news release. Laufrey's resignation was effective last month after a federal jury convicted him in October on 11 charges. He was suspended from his seat earlier this year over allegations that he repeatedly lied and used his public office for personal gain. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Molly Bourne in Charleston.
An invitation-only Wednesday event in Charleston was billed as a symposium on marijuana, but skewed towards opposition of the drug's legalization for medical and recreational purposes. As Dave Mistich reports, presentations from law enforcement and others detailed health, public safety, and environmental impacts of legalization in Colorado and elsewhere around the country.
Mike Stewart, U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of West Virginia, hosted the event. He's been a vocal opponent of marijuana reform. Federal health agencies continue to delve into the potential effects through research, but have yet to reach a definitive conclusion. Wednesday's presentations focused exclusively on opposition viewpoints. Public opinion research from both Gallup and the Pew Research Center indicate roughly two-thirds of Americans support legalization for recreational use. That's illegal on the federal level, but 10 states and D.C. have approved it. 33 states, D.C., Guam, and Puerto Rico allow marijuana for medical use. Some medical marijuana products are scheduled to become legal in West Virginia in July, but technical issues in the law have left that start date in question. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Dave Mistich.
For an extended story on U.S. Attorney Stewart's marijuana event, visit our website at wvpublic.org. This morning, we have another segment in an occasional series called Recovery Stories, conversations from the heart of the nation's opioid crisis. Today, we hear a conversation between Dustin Aubrey and Bob Lloyd. They first met at a Dayton, Ohio support group. Dustin's in recovery, and Bob's adult son struggles with substance use disorder.
You just hope and pray every day he comes over and says, Dad, I'm ready, you know. Until then, there's not much I can do.
Despite their more than 20-year age difference, Dustin and Bob have become close friends and allies in their struggle for recovery.
My name is Dustin Aubrey. I live in Fairborn, Ohio. I'm happily married. I have three kids. I'm a recovering addict in recovery. I just celebrated 14 months clean. I've been clean since April 11th of last year.
My name's Bob Lloyd. I live in Dayton, Ohio. I'm a roofer. I have a boy that's in active addiction now that I really worry about all the time. We tried to get him help. He keeps dodging me. I even went to an assessment with him to make sure he went. I stayed in the waiting room when they took him in the back, and I was there for him. He's just got to want it. That's the thing. People have to want it. They have to be tired of being tired in addiction, I guess, is what I've learned from it. You feel helpless. Either he ODs, he gets treatment, or he quits. That's what I worry about. I worry about him ODing and nobody being there for him. Dustin, what keeps you up at night?
I've been using since I've been 17. I feel like I've missed out on a lot of stuff in my 20s and just going in and out of jails and prisons. I think about that, and I think about the time I wasted. I think about what my life could have been like. But talking to Bob, I can just tell he cares, and he's just always there for me. We had the same interests. We had the same hobbies. We collect knives. We collect race cars. We collect models.
Watch the same TV shows.
Yeah, same TV shows. Street Outlaws.
Yeah, that's what we talk about a lot is Street Outlaws. And it is like a father-son relationship. We're good buddies, you know?
Being an addict, it's hard to find somebody that will trust you and actually want to be your friend, and it ain't as easy as you think, like people being accepting like that.
See, I kind of flip-flop. I was kind of down on drugs and stuff. I was one of them guys, how many times do we bring them back with the Narcan or whatever? And I started understanding more. And then I listened to the people and listened to their stories. Some of them just break your heart. You know, there's a lot of grandparents raising grandkids now because of their mothers and fathers are all messed up. My boy came, we got him to actually come to one meeting. I've been trying to get him to come for a couple of years. And him and Dustin talked a lot, and he told him a lot of what he went through.
I've been to 13, 14 rehabs before I finally got it. The one thing is never be a quitter and never be scared to ask for help. That's one thing that keeps me thriving. Like, I don't want to let nobody down no more. I want him to be like, you know, Dustin was a good dude. He would have gave his shirt off his back to anybody. You know, he might have messed up, but he did change. You know, I'm a part of the society. I'm not a menace no more. I'm not committing crimes. I go to work every day, cut my grass, and take care of my house, paying bills. I never worried about that stuff before.
Dustin's like I'd want my son to be. I'd want my son to do the things that I do with him. I know he's a good, hardworking family guy. I know he takes care of his business. I respect that. I want him to stay clean. That's the main thing. Stay clean. Stay with your family. Be there. Be there for your family.
And I love you, man.
Love you too, dude.
Recovery Stories is part of a special collaboration between West Virginia Public Broadcasting and Ohio Public Radio Station, WYSO. The series is produced by Jess Mador. For more, visit WYSO.org. West Virginia Poet Laureate Mark Harshman won the 20th annual Blue Lynx Prize. Winning the national poetry competition led to the publication this year of his latest compilation of poetry entitled Woman in Red Anorak. Glynis Board visited with Harshman at his home in Wheeling.
Mark Harshman, it's so wonderful to be back sitting in your kitchen.
It's good to have you sitting with me in my kitchen.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about then the Blue Lynx Prize that you won. What is this competition and how did this come about?
The competition has been going on for several decades. I believe the press started in New England. Christopher Howell, a fine American poet himself, is the editor and director of the press and the prize. And it's simply a national competition. I submitted this manuscript probably about 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. And the prize was, I think, initially announced late last year and publication then happened this autumn.
And so then tell us a little bit about the collection.
this has been a very interesting experience to have this collection of poems come out. As you know, I had a book out from WVU just 2 years ago, give or take. And my collections usually don't come this quickly. And I was doing a reading in Charleston from this new book, Woman in Red Anorak, maybe in October. And I realized suddenly I'd never had this experience, even though they're my poems. I'm thinking, who wrote these? I mean, they're so new. They really are not as familiar to me as poems in my previous volumes, because most of the poems in my previous poetry collections had been around a while. I knew them inside and out. I had read them before, but many of these poems I'd never read aloud before, and they were still very new to me. So on the one hand, quite frankly, it was a little unsettling. On the other hand, it was really exciting. I was really pumped. I don't know that the reading was perfect. In fact, I think I've been tweaking what I read in public since this book came out, and changing it up every time I read it. But there was an energy to bringing them out in public that was really quite pleasurable.
Excellent. So can you read something from a selection from?
These poems are different in one sense, because as I have gotten older, I think I understand the process behind my writing of poems, and I realize that one of the things that happens is I will, a certain poet or a couple of poets will get under my skin, and I know that they will just drive the writing for weeks and months on end. Not that the poems that come out, I mean, if you were to read Tomas Tranströmer, who's the Swedish poet who's been under my skin for a couple of years now, and whose influence I feel in this work, I don't know that anybody else would sit down and say, well, I can tell that Mark Harsh was reading Tranströmer, but I know that he inspired, at least stylistically, tonally, some of these poems, and that's reflected in many of them. Not all, by any means, but several of these poems owe a debt, a personal debt anyway, to this great Swedish poet.
Great. Well, let's hear a selection then.
Since we were talking about the Tranströmer, I will read a poem here called Already. A strand of purple and yellow crepe pennants still drapes the window in anticipation. The chocolate cake, like a black hat, sits abandoned on the table, the candles unlit. Soon the mice will stage their parade and some kind of joy return, their quiet voices teasing the silence into harmony. Someone will remember visiting the unlucky house months earlier. He will take off his black hat and wonder what it was really happened. A party had been expected. Invitations had been sent. The doorbell rang, had rung, unanswered. Around back, where the old sill had settled, the mice already were chewing their way in, already in the know.
Oh, that's lovely. And so this was inspired by this artist. Can you tell me more about that inspiration?
Gosh, that's hard. Just trying to suggest a story, but without overtelling it. Trying to give a mood. I mean, there's a sort of sense of foreboding in the poem, and yet there's something also lighthearted and delightful. Something has gone horribly wrong in the human sphere, but for the mice, hey, this is a gravy train. Here's the sill we chewed in. We're going to get into the house. This abandoned birthday cake, it's all ours. I mean, I don't know what the final resolution is for somebody reading this, but it gave me pleasure, and I like discovery. I want a poem to be something that makes someone go, oh, that's curious, that's interesting. And that can be to the dark side of things or to the light side of things, or in this case, maybe even a little of both.
Well, Mark Harshman, thank you so much for giving us your time, and congratulations on the award.
You're welcome, Glynis. It's always a pleasure to be on public broadcasting with you.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureau comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.